Just to begin this retreat session together, and describe as best I can the inclination that may work for you. Particularly at this time, we live within a situation where we're always cultivating things like effort and patience and willingness and conscientiousness and being scrupulous and honest and so forth. So all this is the good karma of our lives. It's an action, it takes up energy, and it's something we should never lose track of. Because of this, because we are in a situation that calls forth a lot of good effort, good action, because it's the blessings, reward of meditation is that the meditation itself can be something like a kind of just a rest, refreshment and enjoyment of the good fruits of what we're doing. So Ajahn Chah would say, one of his sayings was, meditation is a holiday for the heart. Pak porn tam jit jai. Holiday for the heart. Saying a lot of the time I don't imagine anybody would normally go to Wat Pa Pong for a holiday. But within the whole context of renunciation and effort and so forth, then the holiday bit is the meditation. Then you can just kind of let go and relax and rest, rest the heart. So this is very important. And just to say, you know, within this whole realm of cultivation, you know, within this whole context and attitude of our training in the holy life, training in goodness, meditation can be seen as the kind of the holiday where you allow, you know, it's like whenever you do any kind of exercise or work on yourself, you need to just have time to just sit back and let things settle, let things, you know, grow, let old dead tissues flake away, and let the life force move and refresh you. So this is what I would suggest this time. We've been going at it for a few months now since our last retreat. Pak porn tam jit jai. It's a lovely succinct way. Of course, holidays can be a number of things. It can be skiing, rock climbing, lazing around on the beach, swimming. There can be quite a lot of energy put forth in holidays. But the attitude is always one that's what is enjoyable, what is nice. Enjoyable exercise is not in order to achieve something or get something done, or according to some rule or timetable, you know. It's just, you know, most people find the first movement of going on holiday is just a sense of relief, putting aside other attitudes, achievement, and getting things done on time and so forth. And having to produce, come up with something, and then as your energies rest and refresh themselves, then you can put forth energy and put energy into strengthening your faculties and so forth. One of the difficult things about learning to rest and relax is that a lot of our activity is not something we're deliberately doing, it's just default, that is, the mind is worrying, tense, fretting, regurgitating things, remembering, planning, worrying, obsessing, so forth. It's not an activity we've chosen to do, it's a kind of programmed reflex activities, you know, so that when we meditate, when we sit, suddenly we find ourselves extremely activated on a psychological, emotional level, you know, quite charged up, so that you don't get the sense, so resting and relaxing doesn't, how do you do that? Or other times, you know, the mind, when you think of resting, relaxing, the mind just kind of conks out altogether and goes into a kind of dull, vacuous state, which doesn't feel very refreshing if you're drugged. So because of these hindrances, there is a sense of attuning, tuning in, that's needed, so that we don't continually drop into our traumas and engagement patterns, involuntary, we're spinning around. So the tuning in to what? We tune in, the advice is you have the, in terms of the mind, that which is going to take the rest, jit-jai or citta, as it is in Pali. You have the citta and citta-sankhara. Citta-sankhara is the activations, the programs that run. The voices, the, you know, those patterns and programs that run, some of them verbal, some just the emotional ones about your oneself, feeling uncertain, wavering, tense, agitated. Program of self-description. I am this, I'm not this, I'm never this, I'm always this. That's another program. The program of volition is to be doing something, making something happen, something to get galvanized and willful about. This is a program. There are programs that are very, you can almost hear the voices in your mind, but beneath them are the, if you like, the invisible programs of attitude, psychology. And this is citta sankhara, programs of the mind, and that's distinct or can be differentiated from citta itself. The citta or mind or heart or spirit is not the same as what runs through it, what programs it. So it can be, the programs can be removed or one can tune out of them. So colloquial language, people talk about pure awareness or knowing. So the awareness of the programs, the knowing of the mental content, you might say this is citta. You know, it gives you some sense of right here and now, we can experience both our moods and attitudes, and once we acknowledge them, oh, it's that, in that very moment of acknowledgement, you know, in that very moment of acknowledgement, recognition, there's a sense of being aware of it. So, citta, citta-sankhara, and the inclination is to tune into awareness rather than the program. So it's just creating that little bit of space, little non-reactive relationship to the programs, psychologies of the mind. There's the beginning of the holiday, the non-reactive relationship. That's the beginning of it. Most simply and directly and universally, it's the process of one of non-doing, non-engagement, rather than changing things, fixing things, stopping things, getting rid of things, which can be a justifiable response to the stress and the uncertainties we feel, to what seems to be impure or corrupted or stressful in ourselves, how we would like to get rid of that. That's justifiable. At times that may be a necessary means to block it, to just snap out of it, to just push it aside. But it's a means towards the end, is towards not doing. Because in the not doing, there's no sankhara, there's no getting rid of program, there's no enlightenment program, there's no further program. Yeah. So all our actions can be seen as programs, skillful ones, unskillful ones, deliberate ones, involuntary ones. And really, finally, you don't want any of them. You may need to run a few just to create, to get some space. But overall, the overall process is to not have any, or to not be running any. Yeah. Again, very simply in the here and now, this can be that when we, you know, as we sit in this meditation mudra, this meditation asana, sitting here, you know, the thoughts and the moods come up, and what is the least you can do? Just look at the bottom line of what's necessary, just to be here. Work from there. How much, what do you want your mind to be? How much resistance is it to the repetitive thoughts, or the dysfunctional emotional states, or whatever one is experiencing, plans and so forth? Could it be that there's just no reaction to that? Citta's mind is not a thing. It's an energy. Some ways you can call it an awareness, which is true, it is intelligent, but you could also say it's an energy, in that it is flowing, is palpable. Just like awareness, you can turn it towards things. It can be bright, it can be dull, it can be vast, it can be narrow. It's energetic. That's what gives its dynamic, its ability to relate, isn't it? So it's a kind of an energy body, you might say. So because of that, this means that if we unhook that from acting, doing, reacting, the energy of that becomes very sweet and clean. It's just in steady state. It's rather like a computer that you've switched on. You have not running any programs on it. It's just humming. It's just sort of warm, just there. It's not actually doing anything other than just being there. It's not inert. It's not dead. It doesn't even know anything. But the more that we can just touch that, you feel a kind of regenerative energy coming up in the mind. By itself, you don't drag it up, you don't get it going. It naturally recycles, naturally refreshes itself. So every moment there is an unhooking of the reactions. There is a, instead of that energy being used up in hooking onto things, it goes into rest state, which is not inertia, it's not void, it's a sort of a gentle flow. At first that's hardly recognizable, but over time as you keep tuning in that way, keep relaxing, letting go, you begin to sense that this energy is starting to cycle, to circulate. And this is where we experience qualities such as silence, which is somehow bright. We experience qualities such as a kind of radiance, which is not visible, but it feels radiant. It experiences something like a kind of spaciousness or vibrant quality, which has no particular content or sensation to it. This is the ways in which we apprehend the citta. Of course, all these are just apprehensions and perceptions in themselves, but they do give you a sign of something that you can steer towards. You have that reference, and you know when it's not there. So you get a sense of every moment you drop into that, you recognize something wider, more spacious, softer. You don't have to do it, it's happening by itself. And then you come out of it, and there you are doing, busy, tight, reactive. It's a different quality, more jagged, harder, floundering, rushing around, spinning, sagging. They're in this now. You go to the energies of these, of the sankhara, rather than the topics. And the simplest recommendation is whenever we recognize, at the moment of recognition, pause, soften, widen, pause, soften, and widen. It's process of meditation is classically and very usefully linked to breathing. Breathing is the, if you like, the steady state of the body, just as awareness is the steady state of the mind. So whatever the body's doing, physically, voluntarily doing, the moving around or whatever, or involuntary doing, that it's tensing up or contracted around the chest or sinking, or whether it's stale or hard or whatever it's doing. You might say those are all the formations, the programs that get placed onto it, but the steady state of it is just breathing in and out. So we want to, use that as a reference. And so these two aspects, steady, steep breathing in and out, when it becomes steady and complete, and the mind, when it is spacious, alive, not running things. So very often it's the case that as you just let go of formation, it's rather like a breathing out. If you can feel your body in that, then that gives it a little more substance, a little more access, something you can refer to. Just breathing it out, letting the breath go all the way out. Definitely helps to train the mind in coming out of its spin, tuning in, breathing all the way out. And as we've tuned into that, after a while it becomes the brightness of breathing in, breathing in, and breathing out. It's the simplest meditation as a sign, as a tangible sign. And yet, as any tangible sign or something we tune into, naturally it's something we can run our programs over. You know, make it work, do it, get good at it, become something else because of doing this, find out something, I can't do this, you know, this kind of stuff. That's not breathing in and out, that's citta sankhara. So getting the inclination, the attitude, the theme right, holiday for the mind, taking a break, letting the energy stabilize, settle itself, spread itself, widen, soften, refresh.